Wondering what to do for the next hour? Well, try this.
Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Here is a special announcement. Today is Tuesday, and not, as is announced in today's Sunday Telegraph, Friday. And now, a repeat of last Thursday's performance of Monday Night is Music Night.
Well, we're here again at the start of this new year with another Evening Under Lamplight coming to you through the complex technology of Cambridge 105 Radio, reaching through FM listeners in Cambridge and South Cambridgeshire, through digital, well, over a wider stretch of area, and through streaming, reaching anyone, anywhere. And then afterwards, tomorrow probably, the show will be archived online at our main base at momentsunderlamplight.co.uk or through cambridge105.co.uk/shows/lamplight, which, when you scroll down, offers you a link to the archived show on Mixcloud. It's overwhelming and a little scary, the possibilities for communicating these days, and humbling. And so here am I, Robert Louis Abraham's son, a little humble about the burden of communication surrounding this show, but fairly confident that I'm presenting good material and hoping it will resonate with you. You are, of course, invited to attend. Now look, last time, if you remember, we attended to an odd, neglected Kinks song, Artificial Light, a song about a disco dancer exposing herself in the artificial light. There's something about that artificial light that allows us to let go of things. We're no longer in the harsh light of day where we feel we have to hide and protect ourselves. It's as if the artificial light offered us a protection of a kind. As Ray Davis tells us, first time I saw her, she was easy to know. She had nothing to hide. She put it all out to show. She didn't cover up or try to conceal. I knew the way that she felt because her expression was real. She didn't cover up the inside. She showed it all on the outside, stark naked in the artificial light. An amazing line, stark naked in the artificial light. Some sort of perverse, sordid scene we imagine, but Ray transforms the sordid into the deeply significant with the more amazing line, everybody gotta learn to relax. To be yourself, you have to put on an act. I talked about this line last time, but it kept resonating in my mind, and I was talking about it with a few others, and I decided it was worth spending more time attending to it. So that's our theme for this evening under lamplight. To be yourself, you have to put on an act. This is not going to be easy, explaining the way I see this line taking us, but when did that ever stop us here? But first, before we go any further, let's hear the song again, if only for its twisted country sound. Here's the Kinks, Artificial Light.
I disbelieved it at first sight. I couldn't way she felt, 'cause her expression was real. She didn't cover up the inside, she showed it all on the outside. Stark naked in the artificial light. Everybody gotta learn to relax, be yourself, you gotta put on an act. Get together in the artificial light.
What would you call that? Disco country? Country disco? Well, everybody do a floor show. Get together in the artificial light. And maybe that's our cue, a floor show. It's all about show business, one of the common themes in Kink's songs. Most of the time, Ray Davis sings about the strains and pressures of performing, living on the road, getting ripped off by agents. But the real issues concern the actual performing. When I'm on stage doing my floor show under artificial light, who am I? Before we go further, well, here's one more of Ray's songs, lamenting here the discontinuity between his real self and the figure he plays on stage. Camping it up with long hair, large bow tie, this is the way he appeared in the early 70s. Long hair, a large bow tie, loud clothes, effeminate gesturing. What's he doing with all this? What's it leading to? Who is he? Well, here he is, sitting in his hotel room, pondering these issues of identity.
If my friends could see me now, driving round just like a film star, in a chauffeur-driven jam jar, they would laugh. They would all be saying that it's not really me. They would all be asking who I'm trying to be. If my friends could see me now, looking out my hotel window, dressed in satin strides and two-tone daisy roots. If my friends could see me now, I know they would smile. Sitting in my hotel, hiding from the dramas of this great big world. Thank you. prancing round the room like some outrageous move. They would tell me that I'm just being used. They would ask me what I'm trying to prove. They would see me in my hotel, watching late shows till the morning, writing songs for old time vaudeville. To understand me, they would ask me what on earth I'm trying to prove. All my friends would ask me what it's all leading to.
So who is he? The lonely man in the hotel room, trying to hide the gloom, isolated from the world outside? Or on stage, dressing up in my bow tie, prancing round the room like some outrageous poof. Or what? Well, to be yourself, you have to put on an act, Ray Davies would say several years later. He's putting on an act, to be sure, but is he at that moment himself? Let's not rush to answer that. We want to circle around the issue a little more. And the first circle takes us to yet another Kinks song. I told you this theme of showbiz is a common theme with the Kinks. Ray's most complex expression of the theme is the 1975 album Soap Opera, in which the super rock star announces that he's a creator who observes the ordinary people and can turn them into a star by writing songs about them. No matter what your occupation is, everybody's in showbiz. I believe that everybody's a celebrity, and we all got personality and individuality. We all read lines, and we all act a part. We all need a script and an audience to play to. So he decides to choose the most ordinary man in the world and turn him into a star. He chooses Norman. Picture the kind of nobody accountant played by Michael Palin in Monty Python. And he goes to Norman's house to live Norman's life for him, just in the interests of art, to get research for his song. I'm immortalizing his life, and I'll even sleep with his wife, he proclaims. Well, let's drop in on him as he wakes up to begin his first day playing the role of Norman in his little suburban semi, turning this ordinary commuter's morning into a rock song, attend to rush hour blues.
Gets up early, about 7 o'clock. The alarm goes off and then the house starts to rock. In and out of the bathroom by 7:03. By 7:10 he's downstairs drinking his tea. So put a shine on the shelf, put on the pants that suit. Gotta lose those early morning cast up down and push and shove and rush
and do. Darling, are you ready? You'll be late for the bus.
Don't rush me, baby, while I'm using my brush.
Get a move on, darling, you're cutting it fine.
Cool it, baby, I got plenty of time.
So put the shine on the shelf.
Gonna lose those early morning cast. I'm gonna push and shove and rush. brush me, baby, while I'm reading the news.
Darling, get a move on, you're cutting it fine.
Cool it, baby, I got plenty of time.
Rush hour blues. Some people do it every day of their lives. Not just the awful crush on the way to work with its depersonalizing anonymity. No one knows where I'm going to. No one knows who I am. But then, once at work, it's even worse. Just part of the scenery, part of the machinery. Chained to a desk on the 22nd floor. I can't break out through the automatic door. I'd jump out the window, but I can't face the drop. I'm sitting in a cage with an eye on the clock. Poor Norman. He's certainly not living a life that allows him to be himself, is he? This is the condition the existentialists call alienation. The condition we have inherited from the 20th century. And Norman's alienation is so horrible that he cracks, and the only way he can get through each day is by fantasizing that he's not really Norman at all, but some superstar who is taking on the role of Norman in order to get material for his songs about ordinary people. So what is this? Once Norman wakes up to the emptiness and alienation of his daily life, he is assaulted by an existential angst, that horrible despair that is our other legacy from the 20th century. But there is a way out of this angst. We can step back and see our daily lives as some kind of role we are playing, an act we are putting on. Norman does this by creating another role behind his present role, an unreal dream role, the superstar. He's not Norman, but only a character called Norman, being created by the all-powerful superstar. With this double role-playing, Norman retreats from routine into fantasy, from alienation into unreality. He is, alas, no closer to any kind of true self. He is not, after all, putting on an act, which is a kind of performance designed for interacting with other people and situations. He is instead retreating away from other people altogether into his private, self-pleasuring world. This is a long way from our theme of being yourself by putting on an act. And while we're here, let's give ourselves the treat of attending to another song about someone who creates a fantasy role to soothe his alienation and angst. In this case, it's not the alienation of a mindless office job, but the ugly, sordid world of urban poverty. He has nothing going for him except his dreams of being a rap star by the name of Masterman. But through what we call dramatic irony, it's quite clear to us that this is just a kid dreaming, a kid who has to look after his baby brother, whom he casts into the role of a sidekick, Baby J. Me and my brother, we live alone. We got no television, we got no telephone. When we walk down the street, people get out of the way. They say, "Here come the Master Man and Baby J." He thinks they're all getting out of the way because they're paying homage to his celebrity. but we can easily guess that they just get out of the way because here comes that crazy kid strutting around with his baby brother in some stupid costume. It's a Randy Newman song, which alerts us that it will be funny and perhaps cruel too, but deep down, full of compassionate kindness for this poor loser. It's a bit raucous, so watch out.
People tell me that I brag a lot, 'cause I call myself the masterman. Always talking about how I got dynamite in every hand. Hit it. Me and my brother, we live alone. Got no television, got no telephone. When we walk down the street, people get out the way. They say, "Here come the Master Man and Baby J. Here come the Master Man and Baby J." Hit it. Hit it. Get on the mic, be number one. Even top DMC and Run. Everybody's gonna have some fun, 'cause we're taking them all the way down. We're taking them all the way down. Don't rap about this, don't rap about that. Gonna tell everybody where it's at. All over the world, people gonna say, "You got to dig the Master Man and Baby J. You got to dig the Master Man and Baby J." It is. People tell me, "Man, you live in the dump. You won't never be nothing but a pumped up chunk. You got no money, you got no sense, you won't never be nothing. You won't never be nothing." I say, well, when I look out my window, you know what I see? Don't see no whores in the stinking streets. Don't see no drunks and junkies dying. Don't see no bums or garbage flying. I see me and Jay in the L.A. Coliseum, 100,000 people on their feet. They're laughing, bumping, screaming, crying, jumping up on their seat. And then the band begins to play. And then they hush up. And then the band begins to play. And then they hush up. It gets real quiet in the Coliseum, with the stage all dark and bare. Maybe a little rain begins to fall, yeah, but the people standing right there. Then you can hear that announcer say, "Please welcome the crowd roar. Please welcome the crowd roar.
Isn't that great? Isn't that awful? Did you catch these lines? People tell me, "Man, you live in a dump. You'll never be nothing but a pumped-up chump. You got no money, you got no sense. You won't never be nothing." I say, well, when I look out the window, what do I see? I don't see no whores in the stinking street. Don't see no drunks or junkies dying. Don't see no bums and garbage flying. I see me and Jay at the L.A. Coliseum. And from there, his fantasy builds and builds. And can we blame him? The Masterman and Baby Jay. But we're still far away from being oneself by putting on an act. This kid, whoever he is in real life, is certainly not Masterman performing to thousands at the L.A. Coliseum. So what does he have to do? Act naturally? Is that the answer? Well, let's see what Sir Ringo Starr has to tell us about that. I want to move on, you see, to the Beatles' song Act Naturally, which featured on the British Help album, but in America only on the B-side of Yesterday. It's one of the few songs with Ringo on lead vocal, building on the Ringo everyone saw in the film as the sad sack Schlemiel of the group. Here he tells us that he hopes to be a big star because the role he's given is about a man that's sad and lonely, begging down upon his bended knee. And he just has to act naturally and play himself, and he won't even need rehearsing because, being sad and lonely himself, all I gotta do is act naturally. It's one of the non-Lennon-McCartney Beatles songs, originally performed by Buck Owens, who built up the sentimental self-pity, but with Sir Ringo singing it, the sentimentality is sustained simply by the image we have of sad old Ringo. It's musically a cleaner version as we'd expect, and with the usual Beatles sustained energy all the way through. Here it is.
Tell. The movie's gonna make me a big star, 'cause I can play the part so well. Well, I hope you'll come and see me in the movies, then I'll know that you will plainly see the biggest fool that ever hit the big time. And all I gotta do is act naturally. We'll make the scene about a man that's sad and lonely and begging down upon his bended knee. I'll play the part and I won't need rehearsing. Well, I bet you I'm gonna be a big star. Might win an Oscar, you can never tell. The movie's gonna make me a big star, 'cause I can play the part so well. Well, I hope you'll come and see me in the movies, then I'll know that you will plainly see the biggest fool that ever hit the big time. And all I gotta do is act naturally.
The Beatles, Act Naturally. Well, the question is he acting if he's just doing what he always does? Perhaps not. It's probably just some kind of unthinking routine. But here, look. I'm acting, I think, taking on the part of your radio host, presenting Evening Under Lamplight, complete with our artificial light in Studio A of the Gwydir Street Studios of Cambridge 105 Radio. My stage name here is Robert Louis Abrahamson, but what my real name is, well, that, as I understand it, won't be revealed, to me even, until sometime later on.
When the day comes to an end, he invites you to attend Evening Under Lamplight. It's Cambridge 105 Radio.
Thank you. Well, we've been circling around our theme of to be yourself, you have to put on an act. And now it's time to tackle this directly. I suppose there are two parts to attend to, what it means to be yourself and what it means to put on an act. And then we'll see if we can bring them together and make some sense of this line from the King's song, Artificial Light. So let's come over here to start in on this. So, what does it mean to be yourself? Or, the other way around, what is going on when you're not yourself? Remember the prodigal son who, in his deepest misery, came to himself. I love that line. He came to himself. Where was he before he came to himself? Was he someone other than himself? How can you ever be other than yourself? Unless, of course, there is more than one self. And perhaps that's the clue, as we've hinted several times here on Evening Under Lamplight. Well, here's the way various wise teachers have put it, and I at least feel I can trust what they tell me, and so I try to pass it on to you. First, there's the ego self, that part of us that defines itself by its attributes. How my hair looks today, what I'll wear to the party, what car I drive, what house or flat I live in, and in what neighborhood, how much money I have or can make people think I have, how much power I have in my place of work or in my family, and even what gender I profess. These are all attributes that try, well, to manipulate the way others think of me, but there's also the ways I try to make myself feel better about myself. How much success I have in achieving my goals, how much I can keep my body healthy and energetic, and basically how well I can control the things about me. These are all important things, necessary to help us function in life, but there are two problems. The first is that this ego self is, well, egocentric. My ego sees the world only as it affects me. I do things for others only so that they'll like me or feel obligated to do something back for me or treat me in a way that I want them to. In other words, other people become objects for me to manipulate. And this manipulation can work very deeply, way beneath anything I'm actually aware of consciously. Philosophers like Thomas Hobbes felt that this self-centered use of others can work to establish a well-ordered society. I don't harm you because I don't want you to harm me. And that sounds good, but it feels like something's lacking. There's no real compassion. There's no real interaction, no depth of feeling beyond what I feel for myself. I'm trapped in my own self. There has to be more than this. And the other problem about the ego self is that it wants to be in control of things. I eat healthful food so I can keep my body healthy. I drive carefully so I don't get into an accident. I save a nice portion of my income so I can feel financially secure. That's good, but life doesn't always oblige your ego, does it? The one principle of life is that things are in constant change, in such complex ways that we can never get more than a glimpse of what is really going on. So, even those people who have been most careful about their diet and exercise can come down with a cancer. And then they feel angry at life for betraying them. I can drive as carefully as I can, but some other careless driver can nevertheless enter the intersection and ruin all my care. The economy can crash and make my savings worthless, or I may be suddenly hit with an unexpected bill that will wipe out a large part of my savings. The ego is very effective in the short term, but obviously not as our main guiding principle in life. The things the ego depends on are just too fragile, too easily taken away. Again, we need something else, some other kind of self. And it's time for a break from this. And here for us is a song about someone whose ego has just lost everything. Your ego used to have everything, and you thought you had it made. You dressed so fine and used to laugh about everybody that was hanging out. When people would say, "Beware, doll, you're bound to fall," well, you just thought they were all kidding you. But now the unexpected has happened, and now you don't talk so loud. Now you don't seem so proud about having to be scrounging for your next meal. With your possessions gone, and your prestige, and your power, your ego has nothing more to hold on to. And Dylan implies, though he never comes out and says it directly, now that your ego is shattered, you can finally have a taste of freedom. When you got nothing, you got nothing to lose. You're invisible now. You've got no secrets to conceal. How does it feel to be on your own, with no direction home, like a complete unknown, like a rolling stone? Okay, here's the song. I'll say a little more afterwards.
You dress so fine, do the bumps of dime in your prime. Then you, people call, say beware doll, you're bound to fall. You thought they were all kidding you. You used to laugh about everybody that was hanging out. So loud. Now you don't seem so proud about having to be scrounging your next meal. How does it feel? How does it feel to be lonely, but you know you only used to get juiced in it. Nobody's ever taught you how to live out on the street, and now you're gonna have to get used to it. You say you never compromise with the mystery tramp, but now you realize he's not selling it. As you stand to the vacuum clowns, on the jugglers and the clowns, when they all did tricks for you. Never understood that it ain't no good. You shouldn't let other people get your kicks for you. You used to ride on a chrome horse with your diplomat, who carried on his shoulder a Siamese cat. Ain't it hard when you discover that he really wasn't where it's at? After he took from you everything he could steal, how does it feel? How does it feel to have you on your own with no direction home, like a complete unknown, like a rolling stone? Ah, princess on a steeple and all the pretty people, they all drinking, thinking that they got it made, exchanging all precious gifts. But you better take your diamond ring, you better pawn it, babe. You used to be so amused at Napoleon in rags and the language that he used. Go to him now, he calls you, you can't refuse. When you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose. You're invisible now, you got no secrets to conceal. How does it feel? Ah, how does it feel to be on your own with no direction home, like a complete unknown?
Bob Dylan, Like a Rolling Stone, the original version from Highway 61 Revisited, is still the best, I think, for our purposes here. Now, we don't know what happened to destroy the luxurious, complacent, self-centered life she used to live so confidently, but all that's gone now. She's like a rolling stone. But think of that. A rolling stone is free. It's going somewhere. Yes, it may be out of control, at the mercy of any bumps on the road, and it doesn't really know where it will end up. But in the moment, it is free, with, let's hope, some kind of joy in its motions. The song sounds at first like a taunting song. How does it feel? But it can be turned around to a kind of, I think, into a kind of celebration of freedom from the ego and the ego possessions. You have to face reality now, no more just going through the roles that your social position has given you. How does it feel to be on your own, with no direction home, a complete unknown, like a rolling stone? And the answer might just be, it feels more wonderful than I've ever felt before in my life, even if it means I have to live out on the street and go spend time with Napoleon in rags. Yes, now that she's invisible, her ego no longer out in front, she might even see Napoleon in rags for who he is, not just someone she could laugh at and be amused at for the language that he used. What has happened, or rather what may have happened, is that with the ego gone, she no longer sees people as objects. The ego sees others in an I-it nexus, using others the way we use tools or utensils. But the true self, and here we come to the point, the true self sees others in an I-thou relationship. It is open to others and to the world for what it is, relating to others, enjoying others, rather than using them. Oh, sure, we don't have to approve of everything around us, and we don't just accept injustice with a shrug, but we don't rush to judge before first we acknowledge others as people like ourselves. No more demonizing our enemies. No more hurting someone back because that person hurt us first. No more bearing grudges or resentments, and no more letting other people get our kicks for us. Or as Joseph Campbell has put it, you can address anything as a thou, and you can feel the change in your psychology as you do it. The ego that sees a thou is not the same ego that sees an it. Your whole psychology changes when you address things as an it. And what has changed is that we are living in that other self, the deeper self, that feels and enjoys our connection with all things. We're vulnerable here, very much so, but ask anyone who's experienced this, the vulnerability is worth it for the other benefits that come from this deeper I-thou living. But losing everything is not the only way to become free like a rolling stone. It's not the only way to live in the true self. We don't have to lose everything, but can just let go and try living in the moment, without judging or analyzing, just appreciating what is going on, even if what is going on is a terrible stomach ache or a surprising tax bill. Okay, we can say, this is what's happening right now. I won't deny it or run from it. What we want to do is, remember our theme, what we want to do is act the part we're given at the moment. My part at the moment is to suffer a stomachache, accept the fact that my guts are in turmoil. No need for histrionics, no need to try to elicit sympathy from others. We accept the pain and then stay alert to what our part is asking of us. Oh, it's asking us to take some curative tea, or eat some ginger, or go to the chemist for some chemical medicine? Okay, with goodwill. Oh, that surprise tax bill? But we don't pretend we didn't get the notice in the post, but I've done that. But we face the fact that this is what's being asked of us. And now what? We interact with it as calmly as we can. We work out the best next steps. And if it means speaking to a tax agent to ask for some reconsideration, then we'll be ready to play that part. And we won't put on some false play acting, trying to manipulate the tax person. We will be grounded so that we act from our true self, dancing, we might say, with the situation, putting on a valid act. Listen, this could apply even in a place like Auschwitz. Viktor Frankl reports that once he was in Auschwitz, and once he accepted that he was dehumanized almost to the point of non-existence, he could still keep hold of a tiny part of his humanity, a part of his true self, once he realized that his role there was, for some reason, just to suffer. Once he found this role, impossibly difficult as it was, he could hold on. We've now, you notice, moved on to the second part of our theme. To be yourself, you have to put on an act. We have moved, as we've said, from an I-it vision to an I-thou vision. And how do we put on an act, seeing things as a thou? We see other people for what they are, for their own sake, in their own right, whom we are not using, but interacting with, dancing with. And the joy is in the dance, in the relationship, in the performance of the drama we happen to be engaged in, aware of what we're doing, which doubles the joy. So it's not so much that we're putting on an act as that we're taking part in a drama, in a stage show lit by, of course, artificial light. The artificial part is because we're not just acting naturally without being aware of what we're doing. We're consciously playing a part, as an actor does, both fully engaged in the movement of the part and at the same time fully himself or herself. Playing back and forth, the stage show, the self, the stage show, the self. Playful, lila, as they say in Sanskrit. Not driven by ego needs, but freely surrendering to the demands of the part, the demands of the situation. No defensive games, but stark naked in the artificial light. And at the same time, we can be aware of the other people's true selves by what we might call the spirit with which they're playing their roles in this drama. Okay, here's an example of what we've been talking about. I could come in here to the studio and just act naturally, get behind the mic and do whatever I feel like. Some shows are like that, as you know. Or I could use the show in an effort to be popular or prestigious and thus satisfy my ego's cravings. Excuse me, I'm rather busy today. I have to prepare for my radio show that's on this evening. But neither of these will express my true self. In the first instance, I'm too casual to be my deeper self. And in the second instance, I'm too busy hiding my insecurities to be free to express myself. Everybody gotta learn to relax, the song says. To be yourself, you have to put on an act. So I relax. Forget about impressing others, but I don't completely relax. I'm alert to the role I'm playing, dancing with the knobs and other machinery here at the desk, playing with the ideas and the songs here in a way that allows me to tease, amuse, interest, startle you as we dance together through the show. That's the part I play, the act I perform, the act I put on. And if I succeed, I'll be expressing my true self, and perhaps you'll be able to feel that genuineness out there at your end. As the song says, I knew the way that she felt because her expression was real. So, now, here in this new year, let's keep up our hope that we all may have moments of being our true selves as we act our parts in this life. The role of parent, the role of driver on the M11, the role of customer at the till, able to be there, stark naked in the artificial light. Since, as Frank Zappa reminds us, there will come a time when you will even take your clothes off when you dance. I'd love to play that for you, but there's no time. And now it's time, of course, to sign out from me, Robert Louis Abrahamson, attending with you to this evening's Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105 Radio. Catch the archives at momentsunderlamplight.co.uk and come join us again in a fortnight. And until then, play whatever act comes your way. You've got a script, just be quiet, listen to the script, play between your true self, not your ego, and the demands of the script, and you will have a joyful time, even in pain. That's the deal.